I'm preaching from here today. There is a lot of information on the screen, and I don't want to have neck pain, you know, looking all the time from there behind. Jesus versus a legion. Please, there is three scriptures there. We are staying with Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 to verse 34. And please keep your Bibles open because we're going to need to go to Mark later in the sermon, okay? Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, all the way to verse 34. Jesus versus a legion. It's a legion of demons, okay, church? This sermon is going to talk about deliverance, about two men demon-possessed, and Jesus delivers them. This is Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. We're all there? With our Bibles open, let us read. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those standing the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Let us bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, as we're going to talk about a sensitive topic, demon possession, give us sound mind. Give me grace, Lord, to approach it from a biblical perspective and help me to be faithful to your word. May I step aside. May all my opinions step aside. May only your word speak and we be open to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, demon possession, very, very sensitive topic. Depending where you come from, you see it one way. Depending on you come from, you see it another way. Okay? Not easy to preach about it. We want to preach about something else. But we are faithful to the text. The most important thing today, church, it's probably the introduction. The introduction is going to tell you some things you always need to keep in mind when we are talking about this subject. Easy like that. If you pay attention to the introduction, you got the sermon. Okay? So keep with me. The first thing I really want us to see is we avoid the extremes. Avoid the extremes. As I was planning the service with Leo, I asked him for the songs and he gave me those beautiful songs. And I told him, "Leo, this sermon is about demon possession. Jesus delivering people from demon. You want to know what this wise man told me? Gustavo, there is no worship about the demon. I can't help you in that sermon." And that's right. What it's one of the extremes, church, it's people just talk about the demon. "I have a headache." It was the devil. "I tripped on the floor." It was the devil. "The economy is down." It was the devil. "The economy is up." It is God. No, no, no. That's extreme, okay? And what is the other extreme? We don't want to talk about it. Don't mention him. Don't mention his name. No, that's also another extreme we should avoid. So avoid the extremes. You're always on the right way. Okay? The second slide here. Facts. Demon possessions happens nowadays. It's not a thing of the past. Church, if you watch the news and you see naked people killing everywhere, everywhere you see the demons at work. Pretty basic, right? So demon possession happens nowadays, okay? On that note, demon possession, like it happens here in this text, it's rare. Rare. It happened a lot during Jesus' walking on earth. Why? Because the Son of God was walking on earth. It's a very unique season. It's a very unique event. Nowadays, it still happens, but it's rare. Okay? How to deal with demon possession? How do we deal with it? We will learn today. That's what the text is going to answer us, okay? Next slide, please. Myth. I need you to raise your hand after I read this. If you don't belong to God, you belong to the devil. Raise your hand if you heard that before. No? Yes? Okay. That's a myth. Okay, church? This here really needs to be clear. Our next slide has the, what is the correct understanding, okay? Demons are often mentioned in Scripture, particularly in the Gospel. Remember what I told you? Demon possession, it's rare today. It happened a lot during the time of Jesus, particularly in the Gospel. They are spirit beings often called unclean spirits. They serve under the authority of Satan, though they are ultimately subjected to God. Church, what all of us we need to understand, we are very influenced by the Greek mythology. You know the Greeks, you know the Romans. If you watch a Greek movie, there is Zeus, he's the god of the thunder god, Zeus. And there is Hades. Have everyone watched the movie Hercules? Okay, good. Only two people watched the movie Hercules, so my illustration is gone. Only two people will understand. But believe me, Hades is the god of Hades, of hell. So they keep fighting. That's Greek, that's mythology, that's not the Bible. What does the Bible teach us? God is the creator. Satan is a creature. He tries to come against humanity. He tries to come against God, but he doesn't own people. Every person belongs to God, whether they are believer, whether they are not believers. Every person was created in the image and likeness of God. The devil tries to torment people, but the devil does not be, but people do not belong to the devil. This must be very clear. When you and I we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our hearts. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Any other person who doesn't believe in Jesus, they do not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. That's right. They are not sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's right. They are not born again. That's right. But that does not mean the devil lives in them. But that doesn't mean all of them are possessed by the demon. No. Okay? This must be very clear here. Only God has ownership on human race. Only God can dwell in the human heart. Only God. So we really want to demythify. Is that a word? Thank you. I always look to my teacher, Joanne. Demythify our understanding of good and evil, of God and hell, of God and Satan. Satan is defeated. Satan is just a creature. Satan is beneath God's feet. That's a good spot for an amen. Don't be afraid to say amen. We are on the winning side. Amen? Amen. Don't be afraid. Avoid the extremes. Don't be afraid. Little courage, vitamin C to this congregation. Courage. Next slide. Our questions. I think these are the most typical questions when we talk about demon possession, church. What is a demon possession? Remember, the devil does not own human race. The devil does not live in human's heart. So what is demon possession? When he takes over for a period of time the mind. And you remember how a man thinks, a man acts. I think about ice cream. What am I going to do after the service? I'm going to have ice cream. Demon possession is that when the devil takes the control of the mind, and now people act. That's why we have so much killing, crazy killing all around. Right? How does that happen? Church, I don't know. You want to know why I don't know? I don't have X-ray vision. The Bible explained to you how your heart is dwelled by the Holy Spirit. You believe in Jesus. You repent from your sins. You confess He is the Lord. On that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. I don't know about how the devil goes to people's heart. I don't. And if anybody promises to you they know, I would be very skeptical. Because the Bible, it's more focused to tell you how God dwells in your heart. Not the other way around. Okay? So, we don't know how does it happen, but we're going to see an illustration that's really going to help us at the end. Second question is, do people always act weird when they are demon-possessed? And the answer is most of the time, but not always. Not always. And the third question is, can a Christian be demon-possessed? And I am expecting you to answer this question for me. The answer is no or no. Good. Job and Judas, this illustrates everything, these questions, okay? Job was completely attacked by the devil. You name it. His body, his wealth, his family, everything. The devil touched him, but the devil never touched his mind. After all his affliction, the mind and the heart of Job is preserved. And he says, I still worship God. I know my Redeemer is alive, and soon he will lift up. Okay? How about Judas? When Satan, the greatest demon of all, came inside Judas' mind, Judas did not act weird. What did he do? He went and sold Jesus for 30 bucks. No crazy eyes, no crazy voice, quiet, and sold Jesus. Was Judas a Christian? No or no? No. He had the best preacher. He had the best sermon. He had the best congregation. And yet he was never born again. And yet he was never a believer. Okay? So this Job and Judas answers all these three major questions about the subject. Is that clear? Okay? If you always skip that when the subject comes, you're always on the safe side. Let us jump into the text now. I structured the text very easy. One versus the other. Always you're going to see that. The demon versus Jesus. We just saw it. Now it's the time I need you to go to Mark chapter 5 with me. We're going to read from Mark chapter 5, verse 3 and verse 5. And we are going to stay in Mark from now on, okay? Mark chapter 5, verses 3 and 5. I do want you to see, church, let me just summarize things. The demon versus Jesus. These two men are possessed by a legion. What is a legion? A legion is simply 6,000. So these two men are possessed by 6,000 demons. And they come to Jesus. And Jesus, just with the power of his voice, commands the demon to leave. And the demons leave with the power of his voice. You remember with me our last sermon. Our last sermon, Jesus command creation with the power of his voice. Wind, waves, quiet. Winds and waves become quiet. Jesus is God. Jesus is the God of Genesis. He, the creator, speaks and creation obeys. Now, what does Matthew, Luke, and Mark trying to tell you? Jesus commands the whole hell realm, let's call it, the whole demons. And what does the demon do? Quiet, and they obey. What does Mark, Luke, and Matthew trying to tell you? Jesus is God. He has defeated Satan. Okay? So, pretty much that's the summary. I do want you to see the state of this man. I really want you to see this. By their fruit, you will know them. Remember? Either if they belong to me or either if they don't belong to me. Pay attention to the state of this man, which is so sad. Verse 3. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Isolated from society, I wish I could call him homeless, but no, he had a home. What was his home? The graveyard. And can I be honest with you, church? It's not beautiful as the graveyard here in Canada is. When you pass by the graveyard here in Canada, there is landscape. It's beautiful. If you guys go to Brazil, you don't even want to step into a graveyard. It's terrible. It's bad. He lived in the graveyard. He was violent. A danger to society. He was a danger even to himself. Self-harm. And Luke, Mark doesn't tell us, and for the sake of time, we're not going to go there. Luke tells us that this man was always naked. That's what I told you, church. Look the state when the devil is at work. And again, think about the TV. Think about the movies. Think about the games your grandchildren are playing. Killing, nakedness, sensuality, pornography. Who is operating? Easy to answer. A society, Canada, which was Christian-centered, Bible in the school, let us do the things right, let us honor family, let us honor marriage, so on and so forth. Everything now is on the opposite. Nakedness, death, killing, so on and so forth. So really want you to pay attention. The works of the devil and the works of Christ, there is no comparison. Christ comes to that man, delivers him from the devil, clothes the man, restore his mind. The man's no longer violent. The man's no longer a danger. That's the beauty of the work of Christ. So I really wanted you to pay attention to that. Second point of this sermon is the pigs versus the abyss. Did I say correctly? Abyss. The abyss. Okay. Church, in Matthew we see that the demons asked Jesus, don't torment us ahead of time. Send us to the pigs. Okay? Matthew tells us that as soon as the demons went to the pigs got crazy and the pigs went to the water. That's what Matthew tells us. The pigs went to the water because the demons went to the pigs. Pay attention to what Luke is going to tell us here. Luke chapter 8, verse 31. And they begged, these are the demons, okay? And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. First thing they asked, don't torment us ahead of time, Jesus. Second thing they ask, don't send us to the abyss. Okay? Jesus concede, quote, Jesus says, okay, it's okay. Go to the pigs, and the pigs go to the water. What is going on here? What is going on here? Church, remember what God did to our sins? He took our sins and he threw it into the sea, into the water, and he forgot about it. I will remember your sins no more. Do you remember that? It's the same idea. Water and abyss are the same place in the biblical perspective. What is hell? You ask this to a Jewish man. He's going to tell you, you know, I have never been there. I have never seen it. But I'm going to give an illustration. Look, Lake Ontario. God will take the demons and throw them into the sea. And they're going to sink. And they're going to be no more. And they will never go back. And it's a place lifeless. Water and abyss are both carries the same idea. As a matter of fact, do you remember Genesis? The very first verses of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless. deep darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering on the waters, on the face of the waters. Deep darkness, waters, same thing. That's what the devil is asking Jesus. We know we are defeated. We know the Son of God is walking in front of us. We know. But we still have some freedom. Our condemnation is yet to be accomplished on the second coming. Our condemnation is yet to be accomplished when Jesus returns and he's going to call his church to eternal joy, and he's going to take the Satan and his demons, bind them, and throw them to the abyss, and throw them to the lake of fire. That's what's going on here. That hasn't happened yet. But you may rest assured, just like these pigs went to the abyss, just like these pigs went to the waters, the devil, Satan, and his demons, they are going to the abyss. They are going to the lake of fire. They will be condemned forever and ever. That's another good spot for amen. And church, remember how did we start this sermon? That Satan is not the king of hell. Satan is just a creature. Okay? You may be sure he's going to be the most punished and tormented in the lake of fire for everything he has done. God is a righteous God. He will pay the price for making the human race image and likeness of God to sin against God. God will punish him. You may rest assured of that. And if you're afraid to say amen, I say it to you. Amen. Amen. He's going to pay. He's going to pay. This is theology, okay? Third point of this sermon, how does that affect us in our practical life? It's the population versus the men. Still in Mark, I want you to go to the end of the text. It's in verse 15. And we're going to see the population versus the men. Verse 15 says this. When they came to Jesus, this is the population, they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. Verse 18, as Jesus was getting to the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Church, first thing I really want you to carry to your heart, when you have a personal encounter with Jesus, that must change your life. You see this man, the population are uncomfortable with Jesus. Leave. That's not the same attitude of this man. This man wants to be at Jesus' feet. This man wants more of Jesus. This man wants to be wherever Jesus goes, I also want to go. Okay? That should be the way. You know, if people are shallow in their spiritual life, That's not a reason for you to be shallow in your spiritual life. If people pray only for 5 minutes, that's not a reason for you to pray only for 5 minutes. If people only read the Bible 5 minutes, that's not a reason for you to read the Bible only 5 minutes. We, people who are transformed by Jesus, they crave Jesus. They want Him, okay? So that's very personal. The man wants to follow Jesus. The population wants to take Jesus away. I give to the population that they are scared. I would be scared if a man who is causing trouble, everybody knows him, he is on the news every day, out of the blue, you look to the man and the man is sound-minded, dressed well, everything's fine. I would be scared as well, okay? So I give that to them. But, there is a but there, okay? And with that but, keep that in mind, I want to bring the conclusion of the sermon. The first thing we learn in this sermon is what is evangelism and what is the best way to evangelize? Well, the best way to evangelize, it's not to become a pastor. It's not to pay attention on your sermon, speak louder. No. You want to know what's the best way to evangelize? Your testimony. That's what Jesus told the man. Go and tell what I did to you. What did the man do? He went and told everybody what Jesus has done to you. You and I, we don't have all the answers, but we have one thing to tell people. I was blind, but now I see. To whom? Local. The man wants to follow Jesus. The Brazilian pastor wants to come to Canada. No! Do it local. Preach the gospel local. Witness to your family. Okay? Second thing, the conclusion of this text says, our society loves money more than people. That was the but. Remember I told you, but. I'm taking you back to the but, okay? They were scared when they saw the man it's well. I understand that I would be scared as well. But they prove that they love money. They prove that they love pigs more than people. Jesus, leave our country. Jesus, get out. Why? Because we lost 2,000 of pigs into the sea. We lost profits. You hurt the animals. Jesus could have said to them, but I healed the man. But I solved the crisis in the city. But I brought safety to everybody. The two most dangerous wanted people in town are now good people. We don't care, Jesus. You hurt the pigs. You hurt our pockets. Leave. I don't even want to see. I'm going to look to you, Leo. Raise your hand if you know people love money more than they love people, or that people love money and therefore they use people to get money. Raise your hand if you know that. Okay. That's wrong, church. That's wrong. We worship God. We love people. We use money. If we love money and we use people, please don't. Please don't. Third, remember we start this sermon with a question. How to deal with demon possession? Okay? Do we have the scriptures there, Tricia, from Matthew? Okay. You know, again, remember, avoiding the extremes. What is an extremist approach for this subject? It is this. I'm the preacher. I look like a radar. I'm pursuing demons. And when they show up, I get oil on my hand. I come to the person's head. Get out in Jesus' name. Okay? That's the extremist. Extremism. What is the solution for demon possession, church? Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and take with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. Perhaps what happened with these two men, they have a legion. Perhaps what happened to these men, the demons show up, deliverance. Nothing else is done. Seven more come, and seven more come, and seven more come. What is the solution for demon possession? Yes, you command the demon, get out. That's not your place. You have zero claim into the human life. That's not your place. As soon as that happens, what do we need to do, church? Jesus. My brother, either you believe in Jesus, or either your heart and mind is an empty land that anyone can claim. And then you bring the person to Jesus. And then you bring the person to be baptized. And then you bring the person to their knees to repent, to confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior, to be plugged to a church, so on and so forth. That's the solution. And may the Lord have mercy on us to do that well. Amen. You may stand up. Do this. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to give a benediction. Lord, the prayer is simple. May we approach this subject with your eyes, not with the eyes of opinion, not with the eyes of skepticism, not with the eyes of fear, Lord. We know we are in the winning side. We are assured of that. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of the Father, and may the comfort, seal, and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit be with your hearts, be with your minds. Amen. Amen.